Recorded Books and RB Digital present Freeing Finch by Ginny Rorby, narrated by Maybe Burke. Part 1. Chapter 1. 1. My name is Morgan Delgado, Jr. I was 8 when Maddie Baxter, our nearest neighbor, began calling me Finch. The bird she named me after hit our front window a couple of days after my father left. It sounded like someone had thrown a clod of dirt. Mama jumped sky high and turned from the stove. "Jesus, Morgan, what was that?" Her hair was coming in all soft and fuzzy. Chemo hair, she called it. Curly instead of straight the way it had been before the treatments. The ceiling light made it look like she was wearing a halo. I'd been watching TV and got up to see what happened. There was the powdery print of a bird's breast and wings against the glass. The longest feathers were outlined like angel wings, ghostly and beautiful on the pane. I looked at Mama. "A bird hit the window." Her eyes filled with tears. Everything made her cry back then. I unlocked the front door. "I'm gonna go see if it's dead." The bird lay on the deck in the blaze of light from the living room lamps. I thought for sure it was dead, but when I picked it up, little clicking sounds came from its open beak like it was struggling to breathe. I could feel its heart beating against my palm. "Take it down to Maddie," Mama said when I came into the kitchen carrying the bird. "She'll know what to do. I'll call her and tell her you're coming." Mama held the bird against her cheek while I put on my knockoff Uggs and a coat. She handed me the bird and a flashlight from the kitchen drawer. I clamped the flashlight in my armpit and ran down the road to Maddie's driveway with the bird cupped in my hands. Her porch light came on when I got near the house, and the front door opened. Maddie is really old, but knows everything there is to know about wildlife. "Let's see what you've got." She put on her glasses. I opened my hands and held up the cold-cocked bird. "It's a female house finch." She took it from me. "What is it doing flying at night?" "Something probably startled it, and it flew toward the light. Were your lights on?" "Uh-huh. Mama don't like it dark anymore." Maddie looked at me over the tops of her reading glasses, like she still has a habit of doing when there's a lesson to learn. "Doesn't like?" "She doesn't like it dark anymore." I ducked my head. It hit real hard. Inside Maddie's kitchen, I punched holes in the lid of a shoebox with a pencil while she lined the bottom with a few clean rags. The bird looked like it was lying in a coffin before Maddie taped the lid down.
Doesn't it need food and water?"
"Do you eat when you're sleeping?"
"No."
"Well then,
we'll put it someplace warm and dark. If it survives the night, we'll let it go in the morning."
I trailed her to the hall closet and watched her put the shoebox on the top shelf. Rufus, one of Maddie's three cats, followed.
"Not for you," Maddie said. Rufus turned and padded away.
"He acts like he understands you."
"He does. He reads my mind and I read his."
Maddie closed the louvered doors. When I got home, Mama was waiting for me on the porch.
"What did she say?"
"It's a female house finch and she thinks it will be okay."
I'm not sure why I didn't tell the truth. Maddie said maybe it would die or maybe it wouldn't.
"That's good, honey. But don't get your hopes up. It hit that window pretty hard."
"It'll be okay."
Mama was shivering. She hugged herself and rubbed her arms, but took a moment to look up at the stars before following me inside. First thing the next morning, I ran down the road to Maddie's.
"I'm glad you showed up. I'd forgotten all about that bird."
Rufus and I followed Maddie to the closet. As soon as she picked up the box, we heard the bird fluttering inside. I grinned up at Maddie, and she patted the top of my head.
"We'll test fly her in the bathroom to make sure she doesn't have a broken wing."
She shooed Rufus, who'd followed us into the small downstairs bathroom. She closed the door, then nodded for me to open.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?